The Dark Knight on Trial. Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian, bringing you theology at warp speed. I'm Matt Anderson, and today you have just tuned in to another episode of the Sci-Fi Christian Time Loop. So in this episode, we're going to be flashing back. But before I talk about that, I just wanted to send condolences out to the families and friends and anybody connected with that horrible shooting that happened in Aurora, Colorado at the Dark Knight Rises midnight showing. That just is a horrible event, and just want to let you guys know that we here at the Sci-Fi Christian are praying for you. The Dark Knight Rises is kind of what brought upon this time loop episode. We're actually flashing back, like I said, to our third episode where we talked about Batman. It was called The Dark Knight on Trial. We put Batman on trial because we're trying to figure out, is he morally justified in his actions? So this was recorded on January 24th, 2011. Like I said, our third episode. So I think very appropriate since we are here in Batman month. So without further ado, let's flash back to Ben and I putting The Dark Knight on trial.
Ben DeBono.
Yes, sir.
Tonight we're talking about, is Batman morally justified in the things he does?
Yes.
And that we're taking this, of course, from a Christian's perspective, because we are the Sci-Fi Christian.
Yes, and I put the question out on Facebook, and we did get a couple responses that I want to read before we give our take.
Definitely.
Here. So first one from listener Josh. He said, Batman is 007 in tights. He's gay. Superman owns.
Oh my gosh.
That was insightful.
That was totally inappropriate. That's our friend Josh. So
shame on you, Josh.
You should have done the right
thing. Shame on you.
Okay.
I thought it was funny, though, so I read it.
What else?
From Dave. He said, my two cents. I don't really know if he's morally justified or not. I know he doesn't kill. That's an important point we'll have to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a plus for justification. But to my understanding, he's pretty messed up in the head from his parents' deaths. So it kind of seems like he's acting out of his neuroses. We'll be talking about that as well.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why people love him so much. I think Batman has an unforgiveness issue.
Very, very interesting.
And then finally, listener Annie, my wife, wrote, I think he might be justified considering the city he lives in and how corrupt it is. He does try to work with the law when he can. Consider Commissioner Gordon.
Awesome point, Annie.
These are great points, all of which I plan to expand on more as we go along.
Excellent. Well, Ben, why don't you kick us off?
All right. So as I was examining Batman's morality, the way I looked at it is that we need to break this down into four categories to determine, is Batman morally justified in what he does?
Number one,
general morality. In particular, what I mean here is the question of pacifism. Does the Bible teach nonviolence exclusively in a New Testament model? If it does, Batman's out completely. I mean, right from the get-go, we have to answer that question before we can answer anything else. Second, legality. Oh, you wanted to do it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Number two,
legality. So let's just say for the sake of argument that we get through the pacifism thing and Batman's okay there. But he does work outside the law. He is a vigilante. Mm-hmm. Does that contradict what we find in Scripture?
Number three.
Motive. Why does Batman do what he does?
Oh, man, I'm glad you brought this up because as I thought about this, that was the main thing that came to my mind. What is his motivation?
Exactly. And this is more as we get into beyond just what's technically right and wrong in terms of use of force, legal matters. Let's just say Batman's okay in all those categories. Where's his heart at? Because that's where holiness really comes in from a Christian perspective, is at the level of motive. Mm-hmm. So why is he doing what he does? Is he really in a place of holiness or is he acting out of selfishness?
I'm especially excited to talk about that. And number four.
Effectiveness. Does Batman actually make a difference, or is it possible he even makes things worse?
Ooh, that would be good, and I'll be glad to talk about that, but do you really think that effectiveness reflects on his moral justification?
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely. Maybe in a different way than the others, because we don't want to take an ends justify as a means, but let's just say for the sake of argument that we determine that Batman causes more crime by what he does, and he refuses to see that for purely selfish reasons. Well, then the effectiveness question comes into play big time.
That's been brought up in comics many times.
Absolutely.
Where a hero may start out as the only masked person stopping minor criminals.
Yeah.
And then the criminals get smart and they're like, wait a second, I'm going to be masked and I'm going to be super villain.
It's a huge theme in Christopher Nolan's world. The conversation Gordon and Bruce Wayne have at the end of Batman Begins. Mm-hmm. And then that leads directly into The Dark Knight, where the whole implication of the take on the Joker is that he is ramping things up to get to the level of Batman.
Hmm. Yeah, this is going to be
fascinating stuff.
If you're okay with it, I think we should just hit those one at a time.
Alrighty.
Number one,
general morality.
General morality. So what you're saying here is what is commonly believed to be right and wrong by everyone?
Yeah, in particular, I want to focus in on the pacifism issue.
Okay.
Now, do you want me to give you my argument for the prosecution here, since the Dark Knight is on trial?
The Dark Knight is on trial, and I would love to hear from the prosecution.
Alrighty. First item in the prosecution's case, Matthew 5:39. But I say to you, this is Jesus speaking, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. So in the prosecution's case, what Jesus is saying here is that the use of force is never justified.
Mm-hmm.
In the Christian worldview, you cannot use force for any reason whatsoever. Pacifism is absolute, and in particular, this is backed up by the fact that most of the early church, many of the leaders in the first few centuries of Christianity, were pacifists.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Very interesting.
What do you think of the prosecution's case, Matt?
Well, turn the other cheek. That's what we're looking at, huh?
We're looking at that. That's where it comes right down on.
I think Batman tends to be proactive instead of reactive. So maybe the criminals should be turning their other cheek to Batman.
It could be. Certainly the criminals are not in a good moral state.
No, not at all. So I think if we're looking at that from that perspective, Batman could possibly be in the wrong. But I would love to hear from the defense.
So let me ask you this first. Yeah. Are you a pacifist personally?
Interesting. Be more specific.
Do you believe that the use of force is ever justified in any context?
I do believe it's justified in some contexts.
As do I. So, prosecution is on pretty thin ice here. So, do you want to take a crack at why you believe that? I mean, we've got right here, turn the other cheek.
I guess I can't argue my stance from the Bible, but just my own personal feelings are that I guess I'm thinking of war in a larger sense than on a crime war at Gotham City.
Okay, but let's take it in a smaller sense again. Okay. Somebody breaks into your house, threatens, let's say that you are married.
Yes.
And threatens your wife and kids.
Yes.
And you have a chance to use force to stop that person. Is that justified?
I think my responsibility is to take care of my wife.
Absolutely.
So
there would be people who would say it's not, though. The absolute pacifist position.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. What about in the case of just yourself? Somebody breaks into your house. You're a bachelor right now. Mm-hmm. And threatens you and Ryan, your roommate.
Yes.
Would the use of force be justified in that case?
If they were going to hurt Ryan, I would definitely stop them.
Let's say Ryan's away for the weekend, and it's just you.
Just me versus the villain?
Yeah.
I would totally take them out.
Definitely. But these are all we have to consider all these scenarios when we're talking about
pacifism. You're absolutely right.
It's a fascinating question.
Yeah.
So here's my case against this.
Okay.
Number one.
So this is the defense.
This is the defense, and okay. I would agree with the defense on this point. Number one. Jesus is not teaching about absolute nonviolence in this verse, but rather he's talking about personal vengeance in terms of somebody wrongs you and you got to go get them back, whether it's through the use of force or emotionally or whatever. He's talking about that stuff.
So this would apply to Joe Chill.
Yes, which is actually my next point. This is very interesting.
Okay.
In the defense's case. I love the scene in Batman Begins where Bruce Wayne has the gun at Joe Chill's trial and he chooses not to shoot him. That's a very significant point in Batman's favor because he's at a point where he's on the verge of violating what Jesus is saying here, and then he chooses not to, and he chooses to do things different. I think we got to consider that pretty strongly in Batman's favor.
Score one for Batman.
Score one for Batman. And then finally, in terms of the question about what the early church did, I think you could make a case that, yes, we should pay attention to the early church, but we can't put them on the same level as Scripture. If it's not found in Scripture, we can't make a biblical case for it.
Oh, so you're just talking about the first century church fathers?
Yeah, first century church fathers, first few centuries were largely nonviolent in their morality. Mm-hmm. However, if we use them as our only source of the argument, if we take down the Matthew 5 verse mm-hmm. and we say that's not talking about nonviolence, then the only thing we've got left is the church fathers. And if we're basing Christian morality on them, we have left behind sola scriptura, by scripture alone, mm-hmm. and we've gone into extra-biblical sources, which most evangelicals would say you shouldn't do.
Good point. Even though there is sometimes valuable information there, it's Absolutely. Best to go to the Bible first.
Read the early fathers. They've got great stuff.
Yeah.
But if you can't find evidence for what they're saying in scripture, then it's not Christian morality.
I agree, Ben.
I agree as well.
Number two.
So point for Batman.
Point for Batman. So of our 4 points so far, number one goes to Batman.
Yes, we have moved through general morality. The use of force by Batman is
okay. Is okay. Justified.
The fact that he punches people and uses grappling hooks and all that stuff, good stuff.
In the case that it's not vengeful, I think is what we've established.
Yes.
As long as there seems to be a purpose that's grander than himself.
Which, well, maybe we'll get to with motive.
Yeah, I think we should go on to...
So we're not into why he's doing it yet.
Very, very true.
But just the fact that he doesn't isn't necessarily
in itself immoral.
Exactly.
Okay.
Legality.
That is a number two point.
Number two.
Can we hear from the prosecution?
The prosecution's case. This is actually pretty interesting because I've looked at the notes for both sides here.
Yeah, you've looked ahead?
I actually wrote the notes for both sides here. Both the prosecution and the defense use verses from the exact same chapter of Scripture.
That's amazing.
The prosecution's case is built on Romans 13, 1 through 2.
No, it might have been more interesting if you would have clued me in onto your two arguments and I could have taken a side and you could have taken a side.
I'm sorry. Usually you don't like me to share show prep with you.
Yeah, that's true. I like to be surprised. Keeps it fresh.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
But I feel like I'm doing all the talking tonight. I'm sorry,
man. I'll add in things like this. Good point.
Yeah, that'll be good. Okay. Make me look good.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, so Romans 13, 1 through 2. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment.
So you're saying, because we know that being a vigilante is against the law.
Yes.
And
Batman is breaking the law. There is no question about that.
And God has established that we should listen to the authorities that he's established.
Yes.
So, the prosecution seems to have a pretty good case here.
It does. Vigilantism is not okay.
Mm-mm.
Batman is outside the bounds of the law. Therefore, according to this, it's open and shut, right?
Right.
Not so fast. Because we have to look at verses 3 through 5 in the same chapter. This is where it starts to get a little bit gray.
All right.
For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. The defense would like to highlight a couple things from this
Please, before we
get your take. First, that God has appointed the authorities to do good, to punish wrong, not good. What's the case in Gotham City as far as the authorities are concerned?
It seems like there's a lot of bad cops.
They are corrupt. The judicial system is sold out to the mob.
Not just in the movies. We're talking about
This is in the comics,
as well.
Yes, this is canon.
Mm-hmm.
That the judicial system in Gotham City is tied directly to the mob, as is the police force.
That's why Commissioner Gordon is such a powerful character, because he's decided to go against the grain.
Yes. So the defense would say it's very significant that Batman allies himself with Commissioner Gordon, the one person who represents the non-corrupt version of Gotham's morality. In other words, Batman's goal is to work with the law, not above it.
To work with the authority that God's put in place to do good.
Yes.
And work against the authority that does bad.
Yes.
Your
thoughts?
Well, let me ask you this. Has Commissioner Gordon given Batman his seal of approval?
Well, he has the bat signal on top.
Bat signal?
Of the police force.
In the 60s show, he had the red phone.
Yeah, he calls him. The 60s show would be an entirely different case, because there Batman is directly tied to the authorities. They call him up recruit him. We're talking more of the raw Dark Knight style Batman.
So it seems like if Commissioner Gordon has given his seal of approval, who are we to judge the commissioner of all of Gotham City?
Well, that would seem like a pretty good case, but wait, The prosecution has asked for a counter-examination.
Let's hear it.
Prosecution says that, okay, you've got a point that the authorities in Gotham City are not doing so hot, according to Romans 13:3-5. But that does not give anyone an exemption from what Romans 13:1-2 says. That's still in play, and Batman is still breaking the law, even if Commissioner Gordon gives him his approval, because he's working with Gordon, but Batman regularly goes beyond what Gordon would even approve, necessarily. He uses extreme methods that like Gordon doesn't use.
Give me an example.
Well, for example, in The Dark Knight, take the interrogation scene. Batman has got the Joker in the interrogation room. He's under the approval of the authorities. That he blocks the door and starts beating the Joker for information.
That does sound familiar.
Yes. Gordon tries to rush in to stop him and is unable to do so. This also happens in the comics.
So Batman going a little bit more than what Gordon is okay with him doing.
Yes.
So this seems...
So now you're back on the other side.
Man, this is a tough one.
So
I'm going to side in this case with the prosecution.
You are. But wait, the defense has a rebuttal of its own.
I feel pretty strongly. I'm okay, going to fight you.
You're unswayable right now.
Right now I feel unswayable.
You're like the jury here. This is great.
Jury of one.
The jury of one and the lawyer force of one for the prosecution and the defense.
Okay, what's your next rebuttal?
The defense would like to say and remind everyone that the circumstances in Gotham are unique. The presence of supervillains requires Batman to have to go beyond what Commissioner Gordon would normally be able to do. This isn't just the case of hoodlums and the mob and all of that and people knocking out convenience stores. We're talking a sadistic maniac, the Joker, who commits mass murder, has even launched nuclear weapons at one point in the graphic novels. This requires extraordinary methods that go above and beyond what the police force would normally be authorized to do.
I can see what you're saying, but unique is in the eye of the beholder. Laws are laws. If God has established a law, we are to obey this law.
But can there be any question that the circumstances in Gotham are different than they would be in Minneapolis?
It's questionable. You know, we're here in Minneapolis, and I've never personally seen any masked villains. It doesn't mean they're not out there.
But we're not talking just masked villains here. We're talking villains who have extraordinary powers, who are so evil and do things that are well, well beyond what would happen in a normal city. And that's just unquestionably the case with the Joker. He has committed murder over and over and over again, and not just small things. We're talking mass murder, attacks on Gotham.
He once killed Robin.
Yes, with a lead pipe. And yeah. I really dislike Robin.
All Robins or just that Robin? Yeah. No, I don't dislike Robin.
I hate the character. So
that's sad.
I kind of was a fan of that.
Well, if you dislike Tim Drake, that's one thing.
Yes. But look at take The Dark Knight for an example. And I'm using that one a lot because I think that's probably the best known Batman source right now. The Joker does things like he's got the two boats out there, and you guys have to choose.
That was
which
just a
one.
Test, though. Nothing even happened.
Okay, but that's only because Batman intervened. This is a perfect example of what we're talking about. If Batman, he goes against the authorities in that case, he violates what Gordon tells him to do. If he doesn't, one of those two boats gets blown up without question.
I think, for the sake of the prosecution and for the sake of the Bible, that laws are laws. And yes, there might be extreme situations, but let's look at the Garden of Gethsemane. Gethsemane. Can't say it.
Gethsemane.
Okay, there he was, Jesus. Just trying to pray, mind his own business. What happens? Attacked by a mob. This is an extreme situation. And his disciples, Peter actually, pulls out a sword, cuts off a guy's ear in order to defend Jesus in an extreme situation. But guess what? Jesus was not okay with it. He fixed the guy's ear and he's like, whoa, Peter, back off. We're supposed to listen to the ruling authorities.
You're taking the scripture way out of context because Jesus understands the spiritual realities at place. He understands that what his mission is isn't to be free at this point. His mission is to go with these people, be crucified for the salvation of mankind. It's an entirely different context. That's why he chooses to go along with it.
Gethsemane. I can say it.
Or what about the case where another case of spiritual matters in the Bible? Jesus goes and commits vandalism in the temple. which is, would have been against the law. He makes a whip. He knocks over tables. He goes crazy in order to defend the name of his father.
In his defense, though, the temple actually belonged to him because he is God. So he
yes.
It's like in this house. If you knocked over your own bookshelf and broke it with an axe, not vandalism because you own it.
But according to the laws there, and people who didn't know he was divine, he was in violation of the law.
I know, but who cares if the other people knew? He knew that he was...
So it's okay because it served a higher purpose.
It's okay because it wasn't vandalism.
It was vandalism.
No, because it was according to the house of God.
But we're talking about Jesus the man, not Jesus...
You can't separate them. Oh, you're going to separate Jesus now?
No, but what I'm saying is...
Just for the sake of your argument, you're making him
mad. What I'm saying is that Jesus was also a man who lived in Judea and was subject to the laws of that country.
He was also God and not subject to laws that
so Jesus
didn't
could
violate
do whatever
his own
he wanted.
Character.
Because it served a higher purpose, because there was higher law at stake. No, you are, because there was something higher than
that. I'm saying, you're taking it to an extreme, whereas I'm saying something simple. If you're in your own house, and I see you have a piano here, and you decide to take an axe to it, not vandalism, because you own it. The temple is owned, it's the house of God. So he doesn't have to, it's not vandalism in his own home.
Okay, but let me ask you this then, to go back to the Dark Knight.
Okay.
What you are saying, the logical conclusion of your argument... Just to remind everyone of the scene, here's the circumstances. Joker has hostages in an office building. Okay. He has given these two boats a deadline. At midnight, he's going to blow up both boats if one of the boats hasn't already blown the other up.
Okay.
Correct? Batman's about to fly into the building. Gordon tells him, no, you are not to do this. I will not let you do this. He pulls a gun on him to stop him. Batman violates what Gordon says, ignores him, goes above the law, even winds up beating up several cops along the way, and by doing so stops the Joker from blowing up the boats. According to your example, Batman should have said, okay, Gordon, I think you're wrong, but I submit to you, and the end result would have been that hostages would have gotten killed because the hostages were disguised as the villains, mm-hmm. and so the cops would have shot the hostages, and both boats would have been blown up. That would have been the end result of him following what you said he should have done.
It would have made for a bad movie, but Batman should have listened to Commissioner Gordon.
So that would have been the right thing to do.
Morally justified.
No. Batman should have let those two boats blow up? I don't think so.
I mean, at what point can you say... Because he wasn't actually in control of the boats. Joker was.
Okay.
So he wasn't actually responsible.
No.
He could make a difference, like you said, and
You're
he
right.
did in the movie. But the only thing he could actually control is his decision to make the right decision right there.
Let me pull a quote out for you, and I don't remember who said this right now.
So it could just be made up then.
No, it's not made up. We can Google it later.
Okay.
We'll make a video of this part, and I'm going to put it in the subtitles.
Okay.
Take that, Matt.
Go.
All it takes for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing.
Is that from a comic book?
No. Here, you talk for a second.
No, you'll need to Google it. We can do it later.
Okay.
So... All it takes for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing.
Exactly.
Signed, Superman.
No. I'm going to Google it.
Okay, no, go ahead. Okay, so what's your point with that quote?
My point is that what you're saying is that it wasn't Batman's fault. What the quote is arguing is that if Batman does nothing, evil triumphs, and he has a responsibility to stop that if he is able to do so.
Sometimes the right thing to do is nothing.
So the right thing to do would have been to let the boats blow up and all the hostages die.
Okay.
That is what you're saying. Edmund Burke. Edmund Burke.
Hey, that's Juliet's husband on Lost.
Yeah, he's a philosopher.
Cool. Anyways, I mean, I can definitely see what you're saying. And trust me, I don't want any hostages blowing up.
Yes, you do. That's the end result of your argument.
I just want Batman to do the right thing.
Hostages die in your argument.
It would have made for bad storytelling, but maybe it's the right thing.
Here's where I disagree with you in terms of, to bring it back to the Bible. I think you have a very technical view of morality in this case. I would say that you have to be able to look at the individual circumstance, see what the situation is, see that Gordon is emotionally impaired in that moment, is not making a wise decision.
Why was he emotionally
impaired? Because Two-Face had his family as hostages, and he just found this out.
Right, forgot about that.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it for a long time.
So... Gordon is emotionally impaired. He's incapable of making the right decision. Batman knows that if he doesn't act, people are going to die. Hundreds and hundreds of people are going to die. And he moves in and stops that. And as a result, here's the other thing you have to consider, is that Batman captures the Joker at the end of that scene. If he doesn't do that, if he doesn't act, the Joker remains free and continues terrorism throughout Gotham City.
If I had Batman's abilities. I'm not saying I would have listened to Gordon.
Right, because it would have been the wrong thing to do.
Because it feels right to act and to save people.
Yeah.
But but if we're just looking at Romans, is that what you were? Romans?
Yeah.
If we're just looking at Romans, there's no...
But this is my point. You have a very technical view here.
I'm saying, if we're just looking at the Bible, which is what we do at the Sci-Fi Christian...
Yes.
Then there's no footnotes that say... Well, just ignore this if the person's emotionally impaired and also if you're dealing with a supervillain in a highly extreme case.
But sometimes when you are in the middle of battle, you have to act to do the right thing. If you're in a war zone...
Where does it say that in the Bible?
I'm talking about common sense.
No.
But it says this in the Bible because it says the authorities are meant to do good. And if you're not doing good, and if you have a chance to save people, you got to do it. You've got a moral obligation to save people.
I agree that there is such a thing as common sense.
And moral obligation.
But we can't just start making up
this is called a philosophical argument.
Just, if we're based on the Bible, it might not be in the Bible. But you know what? Let me give a counterpoint to my own stance. Let me just say this, that I think everything in the Bible is truth, but not all truth is in the Bible.
Right.
So an argument against myself would be, maybe what you're saying is true, just it's not necessarily written word for word in the Bible.
No, it's not. And that's why we can't just have a technical view of morality. We have to take into consideration all the variables in the circumstance and what's the philosophical right thing to do that is not in contradiction with Scripture.
I think if we look inside ourselves and we say, what would you do in that situation? I said it myself, and I know that you would do it too, that we would save the people.
And I think it would be the right thing to do.
I think it would probably be the right thing to do.
We're going to have to put this up as a video, though, because this has been an awesome debate. And you guys can go onto the video, comment on it on Facebook or on the website. Let us know what you think.
But before we end this, in conclusion then, what I would say...
We got two more points to get to.
Yeah. No, I know. Just about this part.
Yeah.
Even though we started out by talking about what was in the Bible, I think the way we can wrap it up is saying, even if it's not in the Bible, sometimes you just know the right thing to do.
Absolutely. We have to – this is a philosophical conversation as well as a theological one.
Good one.
All right. Should we move on to motive?
Let's move on.
That was fun.
To motive.
I enjoyed that. Motive. Why does Batman do what he does?
Okay. Now, in preparation for this, like I said, this is something I really looked at. And I was trying to think, does he do it for love? Does he love people? Because, you know, we're called to love God, love others.
Mm-hmm.
So is love something? Does he just love his city so much? But what I really fell upon is that – he has a strong sense of justice. So I think Batman's motivation is justice in his own mind.
Mm-hmm.
What have you come up with?
You say that's a positive thing or a negative?
Well, before I answer that, what are your other motivations?
What's the prosecution say?
Well, did you come up with any other examples of possible motivations for Batman?
Yeah, the prosecution would say that Batman's motives are largely selfish. That he acts as he does in order to deal with his own pain from his past and to work through his personal issues.
But how do they know that? Do they know his secret identity?
Well, we're talking about our knowledge based on the comics.
Okay.
We're able to have a God's eye view of Batman and make philosophical arguments based on everything we know about his mental state, all of that.
I think it's a good point to bring up that we are relying a lot on the recent movies just because that seems to be what's more well-known. But there is a deep history of Batman that...
Everything we're talking about, though, we could establish as based purely on the graphic novels.
Okay.
We could, guaranteed.
Good.
Second point from the prosecution, Batman's mental state is highly questionable. He is possibly insane, likely has serious mental issues that drive him to do what he does. He has obsessed with his parents' murder.
That's Dave's point.
Yes, exactly. We're getting back to Dave's point on Facebook. Very solid that Batman, the prosecution would say, is not mentally stable. Therefore, someone in that circumstance should not be out there with high technology fighting crime.
I think it's going to come down to what is his real motivation, but I could see where the prosecution is coming from.
Prosecution now has one final point theologically.
Oh, I'm glad they brought God into this.
Batman is attempting to earn salvation by works.
You think so?
Grace does not exist in his world. He blames himself for his parents' murders. He is trying to redeem himself by works-based salvation. Not by accepting the grace and forgiveness available to him.
By Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
Great point, prosecution.
What do you think? Are you convinced?
Well, I'm not prepared to say I'm convinced yet because I, as the jury, would like to hear the other side.
Okay.
But I do see some valuable points there.
Sure.
Some valid points.
You ready to hear the defense?
Let's hear it.
The defense would say, Batman does act based on his past. That is true. There's no question that that's what motivates him. It's his parents' death.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't necessarily mean he's selfish. He genuinely wants to see Gotham become a better place. He wants to see Gotham improve and be crime-free. That's not a selfish motive. That's a selfless one. Second point, unless you were going to respond. Second point, to say that Batman is insane is pure speculation. He's never been examined by a psychologist, as far as we know.
What about Hugo Strange?
Hugo Strange, that was evil.
Oh.
He's biased.
Okay.
So, invalid.
Okay.
So to say, sure, Batman has issues, but that doesn't mean he's insane, and that doesn't mean that he's incapable of acting for the greater good, when he does prove over and over again that he's able to use his abilities for good. So to say that whatever issues he has should prevent him from being out there fighting crime is ridiculous.
Okay.
And then finally, the defense would like to suggest that perhaps we could view Batman as a messianic figure who sacrifices so that other people can be free. He does what he does so other people don't have to. It's not workspace salvation.
What does he sacrifice?
His time, his...
His personal life?
His money, all of that. Yeah, everything he could have been as a civilian, he sacrifices all of that, the life he could have had, happiness, he doesn't marry. And
comfort.
Exactly. He takes the burden of Gotham on himself so that other people can be free from the evil that is in the city.
I know. It seems he really doesn't need to do that. He has an alien superpowered friend who lives in Metropolis. Why doesn't he just ask him to come help?
Because Superman's an idiot.
Okay, defense, have you rested your case?
The defense rests its case.
All right. Guilty. Just kidding.
Well, we got one more category.
I'm just kidding.
We rest our case for motive.
Oh, okay. So, well, Ben, can I talk to you and not lawyers? What do you think his motivation is, really?
It's a tough one. I mean, I think
the strongest points were that, well, they really conflict, but they're both good, that he is, it's selfish and that it's works-based and he just wants to gain his own redemption.
Yep.
By, he screwed up with his parents, or supposedly that's what he might think, that his actions caused the death of his parents.
Yeah.
Or his inaction. But on the other hand, he's working towards making a better Gotham.
I'm going to argue that in this case, it's really difficult to make one final judgment because largely it depends on the writer and the individual take on the character. For example, in Frank Miller's work, Year One, Dark Knight Returns, Batman is pretty out there.
Like, what do you mean by that? I haven't read Year One.
It's pretty obvious that he's got serious mental issues.
Really?
In those comics, yeah. Dark Knight Returns, definitely.
Aren't those very popular?
Oh, they're really, really good stories.
People like crazy Batman.
Yeah, it's obvious that this guy has a sadistic edge to him.
Hmm.
In Christopher Nolan's take, I think Batman, he isn't insane. Yes, he's got issues, but he's channeling them in a good way for selfless reasons to help other people. So I think it really comes down to who's writing the character. Batman's been written both ways.
Hmm. I think if I look at Batman as a whole, and I've been following him for years.
Yes.
What I came to is that it's all about justice. He thinks that he sees a right and a wrong, and he wants to act out. He is, in a sense, judge, jury, and executioner, except for he doesn't kill people.
Yes.
But he sees what he thinks is real justice, and he dishes out justice.
Yep. So I think that you're right. That is probably the more predominant view of the character. There are cases where he is portrayed more sadistically, mm-hmm. though. And so I would say that overall, I think Batman's motives are more on the good side in generally. But there's definitely a range in how he's been portrayed.
The prosecution would like to say something about Batman's motivations on justice.
All right, let's hear it.
You know, you talked earlier about how Batman might be sort of an Avenger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what it said in Romans, I believe.
Yes.
But did you know it says right in the Bible that God actually says, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, the Lord will judge his people?
But doesn't this again go back to the point of personal vengeance versus justice and fighting for others?
Maybe.
Because we talked about Joe Chill already and how Batman chooses not to kill Joe Chill. He forsakes personal vengeance.
Well, wait a second. If he sees Joker doing something bad, or the Penguin
yeah.
doing something bad, he goes after them. in a sense, isn't that getting revenge?
I think that's justice. That's not revenge. Revenge is a personal thing.
Okay.
It's about, Matt, you were a big jerk to me tonight, so I'm going to pay you back and be mean to you.
Mm.
That would be my interpretation of that verse.
Very good.
So I don't think it's – because then you could take that out too, that like you see somebody committing a crime and you intervene and now you're doing vengeance on them. Yeah. And I think that's a pretty broad interpretation of Jesus' teaching.
Now I'd like to speak on behalf of the defense.
All right.
Batman, he helps people who are in need.
Mm-hmm.
People who couldn't help themselves.
Exactly.
And it says right in the Bible, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless as this. To look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world.
That's a really good defense in Batman's case. Yeah, he does exactly that.
Yeah, because orphans and widows, that's one example. But I don't want to add on to the Bible, but in a sense, could we draw more out of that? That those orphans and widows represent people that can't help themselves, and Batman helps people that can't help themselves?
Absolutely.
So in this case, I'm going to have to side with the defense because Batman's motivation, I think, is for others. It's not about himself. Even though there is a sense where maybe he was originally, maybe what caused him to become who he is what happened to him as a kid. His motivations for years couldn't have been just based on that. He is driven by a need to help others.
Yes.
And to help Gotham.
I would agree with you.
Good.
Should we move on to effectiveness?
The final of your four arguments?
Yes. The prosecution's case would like to say that Batman causes more crime. Earlier today, the defense cited supervillains as a justification for Batman being able to work outside the law. However, the prosecution would like to point out that the existence of supervillains is only there because Batman is. They are a response to him. It's a cause of escalation, as Commissioner Gordon puts at the end of Batman Begins. Mm. Batman has made Gotham a more dangerous place overall, both by his own actions, in terms of that he is reckless and careless with property and with the lives of others when he's pursuing villains.
On the highway alone.
Exactly.
The Batmobile does tons of damage.
Tons of damage. And by the villains he's created. Mm. The prosecution believes that Batman does more harm than good.
Very interesting, prosecution. I like what you said, but I can't quite get on board with that. But I would like to hear from the defense.
Okay. The defense would say, yes, the supervillains are influenced by Batman, but he cancels them out. They wind up canceling each other out. And so Batman does take on the supervillains. He prevents them from doing great evil. And he may cause them, but he also takes care of them.
Are you saying that the defense has admitted that supervillains are a product of Batman's existence?
I think that that's pretty well established when you look at the comics. Tough to argue that one.
All right. Defense, you're on thin ice, but please continue.
The defense would also like to say that Batman has inspired a sense of hope and heroism in a city that was completely devoid of either before his arrival. He has fought not only for the surface level protection of the city, he's rescued their hearts as well by showing them that it's possible to stand against evil and restoring hope to a city that had none.
That last part seems good. But your first point of saying that, I'm talking about the defense here, that yes, they just cancel each other out, that's a very weak point.
Yeah.
Extremely weak.
Yeah.
Because instead of canceling, isn't the better option for them to not exist in the first place?
Yeah, because Joker still kind of kills a whole bunch of people.
Yeah. And if you're just looking at the movie storyline, that universe has Scarecrow existing before Batman comes on the scene.
But he isn't Scarecrow.
He isn't? Because I think he is. He does like this, sprays his stuff, and he's like,
ooh. He's using the gas, but he doesn't officially declare himself Scarecrow.
Oh, really?
Until after Batman.
So, I like what you said about hope defense, but this is a tough one.
Can I offer one other defense?
Only if the prosecution could offer one more thing.
Okay. I don't have anything else for the prosecution. Fine.
Defense, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Batman didn't realize that the supervillains were going to exist when he started to do what he did. This was an unintentional consequence. After he You're shaking your head. You haven't even heard it all out yet.
The lack of knowledge is not an excuse.
Okay, but he takes responsibility for it then and solves the problem. And he confronts evil after he's created it.
Wouldn't the problem be to just stop being Batman?
Maybe in the first place.
Resolution?
Maybe in the first place, but it was impossible for him to know what was going to happen. He wanted to inspire people. He unintentionally also inspired evil. Hmm. Now that he's done that, he sticks around and solves the problem.
This is a tough one.
I think that's he's admitting some responsibility, but then also sticking around and cleaning it up.
You know, in a sense, God created the devil.
Yes.
And so does that make God a bad guy just because the existence of the devil is from God?
No.
Good.
So Batman, therefore, is not a villain.
Wait a second. I think you. Why don't you talk a little bit more about God and the devil and how that relates to Batman?
That's a tough one because we can't understand the heart of God and the mind of God, and we can't understand exactly what was going into everything before the devil came into existence. Well, it's a legit point, dude. Furthermore, we also have to take into account that Batman isn't God. What's right for God may not be right for human beings. Therefore, I think that's a more difficult argument to make in his defense.
I guess that's a good point. But it seems interesting to think about if God is the ultimate hero. I'm not saying Satan is equal to God.
Yes.
But Satan seems to be the ultimate supervillain in the spiritual realm.
He is.
And in a sense, God, like Batman, created his own worst enemy.
He did. So if it's okay for God, is it okay for Batman? I guess I wouldn't be as convinced by that defense point, but I can kind of see what you're saying. So you've heard both arguments for and against Batman's effectiveness. What do you think?
Well, the first three, even though we debated a little bit on the second one, I think we came to the agreement that, what was it? The motivation? Is that what you're, what was your second
point? Legality.
Legality, yeah.
Yeah.
That when it comes to, you know, is it right to obey or not obey authority? That was a tough one at first. I know we debated on that at length, but I think it's safe to say that Batman does do the right thing, even if he does sometimes disobey the lesser thinking authorities.
Yes.
So one, two, three, I'm on board with the defense.
As am I.
The fourth one is a really tough one because
it is tough.
Batman, in a sense, created evil. But okay, here's what I'm going to say. I think evil would have come about one way or another. Let's not talk about supervillains. Let's just look at originally, or even in our world, evil exists. Bad things happen.
Evil is already there in pretty big quantities.
So it's you. Even if you can say that Batman created supervillains, which I'm not even sure if you can 100% say that.
Yes.
You can't say that Batman created all bad. Otherwise, he would be called Batman.
Yes.
So therefore, I'm going to side with the defense in the fourth point as well.
Batman is acquitted.
And as the one and only jury member, I'm going to say not guilty.
Not guilty? Well,
Batman.
Congratulations, Batman. You can still be our favorite hero. We love you.
Congratulations, Batman.
I love you.
On not being a huge criminal.
Yes, platonically, of course.
You know, it would have been tough to really bring him in.
Because otherwise that would be creepy.
Yeah. We couldn't have brought him into prison anyways because he doesn't exist.
No.
He probably would have thrown his batarang at me.
Yes. What I would say on the fourth point is that there is not enough evidence to convict.
That's a good point. There is not enough evidence.
I'm completely on board. He's acquitted on the first three points. There is not enough evidence on the fourth point to convict. Therefore, not guilty.
Not guilty. So, man, third episode and we have just
acquitted Batman. We've cleared his name.
We've just had the trial of Batman on only the third episode.
Well, Matt, it's been an awesome show.
Great show, Ben.
Ben, I love this show.
I'm really enjoying doing this podcast with you. So I guess that's all from here.
We'll be back next week.
I'm Matt Anderson.
I'm Ben DiBono.
And we are the Sci-Fi Christians
signing off.